You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. Today, the Environmental Protection Agency released the first ever federal carbon limits on the nation's power companies.
Some are welcoming the change, saying it's needed to control global warming. Critics say it could cripple the nation's coal industry.
Vicki Patton joins us now. She's a general counsel at the Environmental Defense Fund. Vicki, thanks for joining us.
I very much appreciate the opportunity to do so.
Well, Vicki, can you catch us up on what the EPA announced today about carbon emissions?
Veronica, today the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposed long overdue limits on the carbon pollution that is discharged from new fossil fueled power plants. Our nation's power plants are the single largest source of carbon pollution in our country, and in fact, they turn out more carbon pollution than many nations standing alone. It's a big source of pollution, and there's a lot of good things we can do to strengthen our economy and address this problem.
And how big a deal would you say this is coming right now?
It's quite important. When you look across our country, we have been hard hit by the ravages of extreme weather, from Superstorm Sandy to my own part of the country here in Colorado, where we have just been suffering from very serious flooding to the lives that are disrupted from drought. You know, the impacts of extreme weather on our lives, the lives lost, the lives disrupted, our economy, those costs are too high. And through smart, common sense, clean energy solutions, we can make some real progress in addressing this challenge and building a stronger clean energy economy.
Now, this is something that President Obama had promised some action on earlier when he was running. How did the limits today square with what he said he'd do before?
So the limits proposed today are very much in line with what the president laid out in his covenant with the nation in June. The good news is that in all parts of our country, red states and blue states alike, the winds of change are blowing. We are innovating, and we are delivering cost-effective electricity to America's families and businesses through clean energy in the heartland, in the Midwest, in places like Illinois and Iowa and Oklahoma and Kansas. Vast amounts of wind power are being deployed, and they're being sold on these big interstate transmission lines, and we're delivering cost-effective clean energy really across our country. And in 2012, the single largest source of new electricity in our nation, wind power. So there's just a lot of great innovation happening across our country, and these new clean air standards are going to help foster that innovation and protect the health and environment of our families and communities.
Now, President Obama mentioned some of the moves toward clean energy, and on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who are worried about the coal industry saying that this is going to take away jobs, for instance, from Kentucky and the livelihood of people, and worried, there was a senator who called it a war on coal. What do you make of that?
The time-tested history of the nation's clean air laws, and it is a tremendous American innovation that we all should be incredibly proud of, is that we have confronted naysayers and obstructionists time and time again. You'll remember that when the nation was wrestling with whether to put in place catalytic converters in the automobiles a quarter century ago, there were some who said, it can't be done. We can't meet this challenge. Similarly, when people were looking at how do we address acid rain that was, afflicting our forests and streams and lakes across the eastern United States, there were, so many who stood up and said, this can't be done. We don't have the technology. We can't do it. We just confronted a similar sort of situation when the nation was looking at finally controlling the mercury from coal-fired power plants. The same people who are right now saying that we could not reduce the toxic mercury from coal-fired power plants are saying that we can't reduce the carbon pollution from coal-fired power plants. They're wrong. We have proven time and time again that America can innovate, that we can meet big challenges, and what we'll do is we'll deliver incredibly important health and environmental benefits at a small fraction of the cost. And what we often find is that these technologies that we create and innovate in our own country, we end up selling overseas and strengthening our global competitiveness. So this is the time-tested history of the Clean Air Act, with lots of people saying, can't be done, can't solve this challenge, innovate, and we do, and we deliver big benefits for our families, our communities, and for our economy.
Now, to look at the brass tacks of it a little bit, can you explain what these new standards are compared to what the power plants are emitting currently?
So right now, typical coal-fired power plant would churn out anywhere between, say, 1,800 and 2,200 pounds of carbon pollution for kind of its every pound megawatt hour, every unit of electricity it produces. It's almost a ton of carbon pollution, and the standards that have been proposed today would reduce that by about 40%. And, these coal-fired power plants are currently completely uncontrolled for carbon pollution. And so when you look across our country, we have put in place important limits on the carbon pollution from our motor vehicles, from our cars. We've put in place important limits on our carbon pollution for the large diesel freight trucks that haul goods and wares across our highways, but we have not yet in any way cut the dangerous carbon pollution from coal-fired power plants. It's time that they do their fair share, and we're looking at an important first step through today's proposal. And I hope, Veronica, your listeners will weigh in support of these standards, because we need their support.
Now, with these new standards, when is it expected that companies will be compliant with them?
The nation's clean air laws expect companies to begin taking steps immediately to begin complying with these standards. There will be a round of public comment, and there will be lots of discussion, and people will weigh in with their views about the strengths and weaknesses of what the Environmental Protection Agency has proposed. And then the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will take sort of final action and put in place final protections. Once those standards are finalized, that's when they're binding. That's when compliance is required. But it's smart business practice. It's good planning to begin, anticipating these standards and making smart investment decisions that cut the carbon pollution from power plants sooner rather than later.
Vicky, how big a battle are you anticipating on this? We have someone like the U.S. State Republican leader Mitch McConnell saying that he will do everything within his political power to bring it to a vote. And again, we've got these listening sessions coming up where the industry can weigh in as well. How contentious is this, do you think?
There are far too many inside the Beltway that kind of relish the tit for tat, the acrimony, the discord, the polarization. But outside the Beltway, Americans are hard hit by the extreme weather that impacts our lives and harms our economy. And Americans are also innovating and delivering clean energy solutions. And so I think there's a bit of a dissonance between those inside the Beltway who just business as usual, attack, criticize. But I think there's lots of tremendous innovation happening across America. What we found, Veronica, when the Environmental Protection Agency put in place climate pollution standards for clean cars, they were ultimately supported by the U.S. auto industry. They were supported by the United Auto Workers, by states across the country. And now what we're seeing is they're delivering cost savings to America's families and cost savings at the gas pump, because for every mile that you drive, you can get further on a gallon of gasoline because they're far more efficient. They're helping to strengthen our energy security and our national security because we're using less oil, and they're reducing dangerous climate pollution. So we know how, as a country, when we roll up our sleeves and we find a way to work together and get past this discord, to put in place smart policies that deliver big and broad benefits for our nation.
As we've heard, the coal industry isn't going gently into this so far, at least from early indications. What is the EPA doing to incentivize manufacturers and other stakeholders to find other energy sources in the meantime?
Well, the coal industry is, in a misplaced, misguided way, blaming a lot of people for the shift that's happening across our country away from coal. But if you read the fine print, what you'll find is that the coal industry also acknowledges that it is just struggling to compete in the marketplace. So why they like to blame policies in Washington, D.C. For their problems, and why they like to blame, really almost anyone they can. I was taking a look just recently at the filing before the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission by the chairman and president of Arch Coal. And in that filing, he said, we are having difficulty competing in the marketplace against other forms of electricity. So coal itself is acknowledging that it's really not Washington, D.C. policies. It's really not all of these other factors. It's that America is innovating and delivering lower-emitting, cleaner energy solutions, and coal is having a serious difficulty competing. And so, it's really, I think, in the final analysis, a question for the coal industry. Are they going to continue to fight and obstruct? Or are they going to innovate and compete in the marketplace?
All right. Well, Vicki, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Veronica.
That was Vicki Patton, General Counsel at the Environmental Defense Fund.